You know, here we are coming up on Christmas really close, and this is the second worst holiday for Satan. You know what I'm saying? First worst holiday was Resurrection Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. But at this time of year, we celebrate Jesus' birth. And, you know, all through history, you know, the devil has been concerned about that because it was prophesied in Genesis, written through Scripture, about somebody who was going to come and kind of, you know, hurt him in the head, you know what I'm saying? And so he, all through history, has tried to stop that, but you know you can't stop God. Amen? So we're going to look today at a little different passage. It's one I don't know if I've ever ministered on totally. And it's found in Isaiah 9. My message today and for this month is going to be Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And I was thinking about this, you know, how many love babies? You know, babies are cute. And they're cuddly, but, you know, I think about Jesus, you know, that's no baby, that's my Savior, amen? You know, that's why He came to save us from our sins, and God has always had a plan. Now, what happens in our life is that sometimes, you know, we go through situations, and have you ever been in a dark place, and you couldn't really see where you're going? The other night, we was up in Des Moines, and, you know, we went to Bass Pro to look at some stuff, and anyway, leaving there, they're under construction. And it's very difficult. The roads were all kind of messed up and stuff. And anyway, we were driving along, and all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I ended up in somebody's parking lot. You know, I just couldn't see as good. You know, it was raining, and, you know, our headlights are okay, but things weren't marked. There was no street lights. And, you know, I was just kind of lost. And I think sometimes in our life, we can get a little bit lost. And the only thing worse is than not seeing where you're going is that to be in a dark place and you don't know which way to go. And see, that's what happens in our life sometimes. You know, we go through situations and circumstances, and, you know, the devil comes in and he tries to discourage us and to get us to feel bad and to think there's no hope and there's nobody on our side. But see, that's why Jesus came. And the nation of Israel struggled with this from time to time in their life. And they would make bad choices and they'd pull away from God. But yet Jesus came to reconcile us back to the Father, because the Scripture is going to talk about, we're not going to go that far today, but we're going to head towards it, is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace that came to give us peace in our time of darkness. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 4, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 4, it says, "But there will be no more gloom for who is in anguish. In earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, as at the battle of Midian." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity you've given to us to come to you. We thank you that we are children of the Most High. We thank you for the power of God just working in each of our lives. That, Lord, we know it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not by what we say with our own natural mind or think with our own natural mind and speak with our own natural mouth, but, Lord, it's by the utterance of the Spirit, Lord, that penetrates our heart, that lets us know what it is that we have to do and which way we should go. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And again, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you're kind of wondering, well, this don't look like a Christmas passage, probably, does it? Well, we're going to get there in a little bit. But this does talk about the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, it talks about two different things. It talks about the earlier times and the latter times. Now, the earlier times is talking about the northern tribes. Now, without going into too much depth today, Israel was united as one under David and then also under Solomon. But after Solomon, 10 of the tribes were ripped away to the north, and that left down south Judah and, I believe, Benjamin. Okay? Now, you got to think about this. This is a large span of area there. But see, the northern tribes, a lot of attacks came from everywhere. The devil hates the nation of Israel. So we know that Egypt sometimes come from the south, but a lot of their attacks came from the north with the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and all these things. So when that battle came, it was the northern tribes that were affected first. And when the enemy come in, he came in to occupy their land. Now, here it's talking about in this one is the idea of Assyria coming. And it talks about the idea really because the nation of Israel had sinned. And what had happened is the fact that when the 10 tribes were ripped apart from the nation of Israel, we know the temple was down in Jerusalem, correct? And that was the hub of worship where they were supposed to be. So when that was taken away, they made some false temples and they went off doing some other things, basically just chasing after things they shouldn't have chased after. So they entered into all kinds of sin in their life. And see, when that happens, what we don't really understand is the idea of the law of sowing and reaping. And God's timetable is a little different than our timetable. But when all these things come into effect, it opened the door for that nation to come under attack and to come under occupation. And so these enemies came in and they started to take over that land. And it was a very dark and gloomy time. If you could imagine the oppressor coming in upon you and your family and taking everything that you own and perhaps hauling you off in captivity to another land. And see, that's what was happening here. Now see, Isaiah prophesied this. Now, Isaiah's ministry was around 60 years, give or take. And during that 60 years, he had some good kings that he was hanging around. They also had some bad kings. So Isaiah had seen a lot of different things happen in his life, especially during his ministry. And see, that's the way it is with you or my life. We go through seasons of life. And sometimes things are good, and sometimes attacks do come. And we need to be ready for that because Jesus said here that he is going to come and he's going to make our life better. He's going to give us that new life. Now, what happened here is the later on, it says, because we looked at the earlier times, but later on it talks about, you know, Naphtali and the Galilee of the Gentiles, and we know that's where Jesus came from. You know, Matthew 4, 15 and 16 talks about it, and that's where Jesus' ministry started in Galilee. And see, he was the light that came into a dark world. Now, what we forget a little bit is the idea from the time from Malachi on into the time of the preaching of John the Baptist, there was not a lot of prophetic revelation. You know, it was kind of a dark time. I can't remember right now off the top of my head, about 300-400 years. I don't know about you, but our country's not that old. And we were founded on Christian principles in the beginning, and look how messed up we are in the 200 years we've been around. Could you imagine not getting any prophetic revelation from God? You feel that maybe God has turned his back on you. Have you ever felt that? I think everybody does. You know, if you have any feelings at all, and if you go through any kind of battles in life and you're willing to admit it, you know, sometimes things just don't turn out the way that we want. You know, you might be a godly person living around ungodly people, and the judgment comes upon the ungodly, and we're part of that judgment. And that's what probably happened up here a little bit in the northern tribes. Some of them probably really loved Jesus. But I'll tell you what happened, though. Due to the sin of their nation, they were taken into captivity, and then a lot of problems happened. So Jesus came, and it talks about he opened the door for the Gentiles. And that's what I love about this, is the fact that, you know, we are non-Jews in the sense that we weren't born of that lineage, but yet God loved his people so much that he made a way that those who were not part of the 12 tribes came in to the family of God. And Jesus' ministry, you know, is talking about the light is coming. And that, you know, it may be dark in your life right now. Maybe you have things going on in your life that hasn't worked out the way that you want it or you think they should. But I'll tell you what, the dawn is coming. Just as it's dark at night, the morning comes and the dawn comes. And the light of Jesus Christ can come into our life. And it can show us the way. And we can start to see the breakthrough and those barriers go away. Now this here is talking about Jesus a little bit. And it kind of insinuates what his ministry is. And it talks about three different things we're going to look at today. His ministry did. Now he did a lot of things. But the three that we're going to see today that ties into this passage is number one is light. Number two is joy. And number three is victory. You know, the Bible says that Jesus brings the light. He is the light of the world. You know, we live in darkness without Christ. I can still remember my BC days, what it was like to walk in that darkness. I thought I was okay, but deep down inside, I knew that I was lost as they come. Because the light of God had not illuminated me on the inside to make that difference and that change that I needed to have happen in my life. And what happened here, that the Jews were God's chosen people. They were the one that God had carved out from the rest of the world and to be His ones, His chosen ones. I don't know about you, but I feel good when I get chosen. Have you ever remember when you was a kid playing sports and they did pickup games? Didn't you like it when they called your name? How many like to be called last? None of us, right? Nobody wants to be picked last. Most people want to be picked first. And see, God chose the Jews first. He called them, you know, out of the rest of the world, and they were to be His people. So really, they had the first access, and they had full access to God. But what had happened is that they continually walked away from God, out into the darkness. And that's really like it is for a lot of people today. You know, you might have become a Christian. You might have surrendered your life to Christ. But, you know, as you go through the process of life, you know, a lot of different things happen. Things have come your way. Things you can't explain. Maybe you got into a bad marriage or a bad situation. And you say, God, where are you? What has happened? I'm in a dark place right now. What do I do? Well, like I say, Jesus is the light. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. All you need to do is to continually look to the light, and that light of illumination will bring you through that dark place. I know, because I've been through dark places in my life. Now, the lights go out for two reasons. We live in an area where we get some problems sometimes. And number one, the reason why the light goes out is because of a storm. It could be a summer storm with a tornado or something and knock the power lines down. Or also, it could be a situation, you know, in the wintertime where you get ice on the lines. And when that happens, the power lines go down. When the lines go down, the light goes out. And so sometimes maybe a storm in your life has come. And maybe you just feel that attack is so hard that you really can't see through the chaos and the confusion of everything going on. But I got news that the lines will go back up. And the second reason that we lose power, you forgot to pay the bill. Oh, no. Right? How many know that the power company... I don't want to say this wrong, but, you know, there may be some nice people out there, but they'll turn you off. They will shut you off. Nice as they are, they'll just pull the plug on you. And see, that's what happens sometimes in our life when we fail to stay connected to God. You know, we need to stay in prayer and stay in communion with God, and what I like to call it, you got to pray the price, you know. For the power company, you got to pay the price, right? But with God, you got to pray the price. You got to stay in connection with God. You got to stay connected to Him to be able to keep that light going, and so that you can walk in the light. See, the light needs to be turned on before we can take the next two steps, and that's to walk in joy and victory. You know, I remember in my life when I have that aha moment. Right after I had that aha moment where I finally come to the light, then I went, duh, why didn't I see this before? I go, what's going on? I mean, it's right there. And then I look to my friends and maybe some of my family, and they're not there. And I, duh, why can't you see it? But if I'm honest, I couldn't see it before I had that aha moment. You know, we need to pray that people have that aha moment where you come to the place in your life where all of a sudden, whoa, there it is. I have received. I have surrendered my life, and now I've come into the family of God. And once that happens, it just changes so much of the dynamic in our life, because, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world, and light equals life. And, you know, Jesus is the exclusive source of light and truth. A lot of people try to find information from other places and try to continually go on to the things that, you know, the enemy thinks that they need to do. And, you know, God wants us to be able to walk in His power. And the closer we are to the light is the closer that we're going to be able to see. Now, if we turned all the lights off here today, I'm not going to do it. And if I had a little match, you know, the ones who are the closest could be able to see a little bit. But I know the ones in the back row, you're not going to see very good because of that match, because you're too far away. And see, we got to get close to the light if we're going to see. You got to be close to that light if you're going to be able to understand and see what is going on in the world around you. And that's why it's important that we stay close to Jesus, because those who perceive true light are the only ones who are not going to walk in spiritual darkness. Because there's spiritual darkness out there for everybody else who's not walking in the light. So without perception, there is only deception. Without perception, there is only deception. There's a lot of deceived peoples living in this world, and they're deluded because they fail to understand the concept of what it means to have the light inside of them. Next, we know that Jesus brings joy. It's talking about the joy of the harvest. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I love to harvest, you know. And the sad thing about the northern tribes, when they were under attack, you know, they would sow, but then all of a sudden the Assyrians would show up with all their weapons and everything, and they would just take their food. They would take their harvest. And see, that's what the devil tries to do, you and I. You know, we sow our seed, and we're obedient to God. We're doing, you know, it's time to sow, so we sow. And then all of a sudden, the enemy comes in, he tries to steal our stuff. You know, and that happens. It happens to good, godly people a lot of times. Because the enemy don't play fair. That's why we got to fight the good fight of faith and be able to walk in the truth and the life that Jesus Christ has come to give us. And we can't just give in, because the devil doesn't play fair, and so we need to really understand how the things of God works. Now, there's great joy when you get a harvest. Enjoy the fruit of your labor. You know, when you've worked, and I mean, I love to, you know, most of us probably like to get a paycheck. You go to work all day long, and you work hard, then you get that paycheck, and that kind of makes some of it worth it, doesn't it? You know, it should anyway. Hope you're in a place where you enjoy working. If not, you know, pray. God will open some doors for you. But here it talks about the idea also, after the joy of the harvest, it says in the scripture, there's also joy in dividing the spoil. In dividing the spoil. And this is found down there in, I think, verse 2. It starts to talk about it in 3. It talks about this gladness or being able to divide the spoil. You know, after a long, hard battle, you know, in victory, you know, you get to enjoy them spoils. And how I looked at it spiritually, I mean, we have people, you know, that we love that needs to know Jesus Christ. And maybe you're on a prayer campaign for them. And if you're not, you should be. You need to pray for your loved ones. You need to pray for your workers. You need to pray for those people around you. And just pray that God will open their eyes to see the same thing that you can see now. The things that you didn't used to see that you see now. Pray that God opens their eyes that they may see also. You know, and one of the greatest feelings there is when you start to see that spoil at the end of a spiritual battle. And you start to see that victory and you start to taste that victory. I'll tell you what, that makes you want to fight again. It makes you want to go back out there. And to be able to fight that good fight of faith and not give up on the things going on around you. And then lastly, we're looking at Jesus brings victory. And that's really where we want to be. Hopefully we do. See, the nation of Israel, you know, if you study their history, if you read through the Old Testament, you should. You know, it's part of the Bible, amen. But the nation of Israel continually went from victory to bondage, all through their history. You know, some great man or woman of God would rise up and they would follow them for a little bit and they'd start walking in victory and starting kicking the tar out of the ones around them, was trying to steal all their stuff. But then that person would die and then they would go back into their rebellious ways. You know, the problem was that they were following the person and not God, but, you know, those things kind of happen, don't they? People start following a person and they don't follow God, and that's how they get misled. So they went from faithfulness to rebellion. And see, that's not what God has for us. And this talks about in victory, it throws in there that the rod of the oppressor as the battle of Midian. See, there's a lot of hidden keys in this thing that maybe if you just glance over, you won't see it. Now, when it talks about the Battle of Midian, a little bit about it was Gideon. He was a deliverer. He was the one God was going to raise up. Nation of Israel, they was in bondage and just not having any fun at all. And their oppressors were there and they were taking all their stuff. But then God touched a young man named Gideon. The drawback was Gideon was shy. Gideon wasn't very outgoing. As a matter of fact, Gideon had to go out at night to fight his battles because he didn't want to get caught. And they tore down the temples of Baal. And then they wondered who did it, and make a long story short, you know, Gideon started to be raised up as a leader, and he went out and he was going to go fight the enemy, and there was too many of them, so God separated 10,000 from him, and he ended up, make a long story short, I believe he ended up with 300. So here's 300 people going to take on this big army. I don't know about you, but that'd be a tough little task, wouldn't it? But see, God had a plan. Them guys didn't have to, you know, fight a lick against them. What God did is God made them make a noise, and then the enemies just all fought against each other and they died. And see, the picture of that was Gideon was the worst choice probably to lead the army, but he wasn't the one going to do the fighting anyway. God was. And see, that's what, and I don't know about you, but when God picked a baby to save the world, that's, to me, that's rolling the dice, man. Babies are breakable. A lot can go wrong with a baby. But see, God sent a baby to save us from our sins. And as it shows the picture that God delivered Israel from Midian, it's the same way that God delivered us from our sins. God is the one who's fighting the battle. And you have to remember that. Sometimes we think it's all about us and it's all what we do, and oh, my faith ain't big enough. I don't think I can do it. I'm not good enough. Well, duh. None of us are good enough. That's why Jesus came. So we need to step back a minute. And we need to let God be God in our life and be able to take us and deliver us the way that He wants to. So God's, you know, sometimes will thin the herd around us and it makes it look like we're the only ones. But we got to know that it's only God anyway. Now Jesus wants us to go from victory to victory, not from victory to defeat like the Israelites. But Jesus wants to see move in our life, and He wants us to see that He is our bondage breaker. What is your bondage today? What are you addicted to? Are you addicted to God, or are you addicted to something else? God can set you free from that. No matter what's holding you back in your life, there is nothing that God can't do. I know that because God did it for me, and I know that God can do it for you. So don't give up on God. Let God be God in your life. See, the Father knew that we couldn't walk in victory unless He walked inside of us. And that's what God came to do. He knew that we couldn't fight the battle. So He fought the battle for Gideon. So God wants to fight the battle for you, but He wants to do it through you. So when we understand the concept that it's God in us, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that's when we start to walk in His power. That's why Jesus Christ came. See, Jesus Christ wants to be the Prince of Peace in a crazy and chaotic world. Because that's no baby, that's my Savior. Amen. And we're going to unwrap this a little bit more in the upcoming weeks. Not next week, because next week we have a real treat. We have the Christmas program. But we're going to go into this and see how that baby came and what that baby did and the call that was on His life. And if we accept that revelation, the things that He's going to do in our lives. Amen? Let's pray.